Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and Doug McBurney, welcome to the studio.
I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm here for help.
Our Monday co-host.
Yeah, last week I was here to help. This week I'm here for help.
Well, what's going on? Because I have some things I'd like to share with you. Focus on the family. They've not adopted the flat earth model. That's not the case.
Oh, I thought maybe that's what had happened.
I know you thought I said that. No, but they might as well have, with their response to Colorado's homosexual governor pushing for kids in school to be taught about homos.
Yes, that's the bill that's coming before the legislature.
Shocking.
It's the very first effort of the new homo governor and the new Democrat majority.
Yeah, right out of the
legislature.
Gate. You know, it reminds me of when Pena, remember former Denver mayor Frederico Pena?
Yeah, Pena Boulevard. I remember.
Clinton selected him as the Secretary of Transportation.
That's right.
And the first thing he did, he's in D.C., Secretary of Transportation. The first thing he did is declare the first day of work, celebrate Diversity Day.
Ah.
And in the lobby of the Department of Transportation, had this big homo display and celebration.
Oh, wow.
That was the first day. And isn't that appropriate for transportation? It's very relevant.
I guess. And that's 25 years ago. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how bad it is now?
So,
well, we don't have to imagine. We can talk about it. I remember when I first met you, you used to fly to South Bend all the time, and you were doing the TV show.
Yeah.
And you had quite the following in South Bend.
Yeah.
Well, things have changed in South Bend, and we'll get to some of that. Things
all right.
have changed.
And also, I filled out Focus on the Families. They want you to sign a petition against what the Colorado legislature is doing.
With the LGBT curriculum.
It's time for parents to stand up and say, we don't want our kids in the public schools to be taught this. So I signed it, but I didn't put my real name.
Oh, really?
So I'll read on the air how I signed the petition. My name, first name, last name, address. But before we get to that, you said you're here, you need help.
Yeah, I think
what
I'm,
do you need
I
help
think I'm
with?
Being scammed.
Oh.
I think I'm being scammed. So I don't make my living on the radio or on the podcast.
Yeah.
I have a day job. And I sell some things online, and I'm pretty sure that someone has stolen someone else's identity and ordered thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stuff off my website.
Wow.
But I think it's a fraud, and I think somebody's getting robbed.
Wow.
And so, I'm not sure what to do.
So what's a unit price for one unit? Ballpark.
$8,500.
$8,500.
And they ordered two of them over the last few days.
So, Doug, our website, kgov.com, we have a store, and we sell things pretty much every day for 20 years now.
Right.
And that's where a lot of our revenue comes from, mostly our subscriptions to stay on the air.
And if people wanted to subscribe, they could go to kgov.com, click the store.
Yeah.
And then there's a subscriptions link.
Yeah, and get the sermons, the Bible studies,
the topical videos. I recommend
the
Bible study. I finished Isaiah.
Oh.
And I just started Leviticus.
Mm.
Yes.
It's all so amazing, verse by verse, through the Bible, Old and New Testament. But, Doug, the largest price item we have on our store is the Enyart Library.
Okay, yeah.
And that's thousands of dollars. You get pretty much everything we have. Some people get the audio library or just the video library or the whole library. Mm-hmm. And so that's it. That we only sell those occasionally. If we sold them all the time, BEL would be in great shape. We'd be reaching a lot more people.
By the way, it's a bargain. If you sold it for twice the price, if it was $4,000, it would be like they were sticking a gun in your ribs and stealing it from you. That's how good it is. It's worth that much.
So, and people, everything we've sold since we've been on the air, 28 years, we say money-back guarantee, 30 days for any reason. And when somebody buys one thing, if they can't afford it, we say whatever you can afford.
Right.
So if they want a video, they could only afford $3, then our goal is to get the word out.
That's it.
At any rate, that's unusual to get an order on the store for the Enyart Library. In fact, we celebrate here when that happens because we could pay another month's expenses.
There you go.
You know, some of the expenses.
Uh-huh.
So you sold this on your store, $8,500.
And we were very happy with the first one came through.
Yeah. First one?
Yeah. Well, they ordered two of them so far. Yeah. Well, when the first one came through, I actually emailed the person and asked them a few particulars.
Yeah.
What color, right?
Yeah.
And they emailed me back, and it seemed so legitimate. I was just, yeah. I was overjoyed.
Usually
right?
you got to go out and beat the pavement actually sell these
it's
things
difficult.
In
yeah.
person. Uh-huh.
So, and then 2 days later, another one comes through, and I wouldn't have even thought about it, except that another client had me asking about it. There was a charge in my card. We don't even know who you are. And then I said, well, you've been my client for 17 years. Yeah. You actually do know who I am.
So you were thinking about credit card
fraud. I was trying to track down some stuff, and I started to put the pieces together. Oh, it looks like a scam, and somebody's getting ripped off.
It looks like a scam. So somebody has ordered now two of these $8,500 pieces of equipment.
Right. Yes.
And you're thinking it's a scam.
And so here's my plan. Now, I'm not a detective, but what I did was I haven't shipped anything. Hmm. And now normally if you order something for in the neighborhood of 10 grand and it doesn't show up, you're going to get on the phone and you're going to call somebody.
Right.
So I'm hoping that the scammer...
You are not shipping either of these.
I'm not shipping them,
They're sitting in your warehouse.
They're sitting in my warehouse, and somebody's stolen money is sitting in my bank account, I do believe.
Yeah, right.
So I'm going to wait and see if they call me. I'm going to try to figure
out
where is it? Why is it not here?
Okay.
And I'm going to say, you know, there's been a problem with the credit card processor, and it requires me to talk to you in person. I'm glad you called. And then I'm going
to. So you want to get their identity, who they are.
I want to find out who they are, where they are, and then I want to call the cops.
Okay.
And I'll hand it to them all
now,
tied up in a bow.
Here's a sad prediction. Now, I hope I'm wrong, but the cops won't do anything.
What do you mean the cops won't do
anything? They won't do anything. They don't care about credit card fraud as a general rule. We live in a criminal society. There are way too many lawyers.
Well,
and
yeah.
Because it's a relationship, cause and effect. The more lawyers in a society, the more crime. And the more crime, the more that everyone just takes it for granted. Huh. It's hard to be outraged by crime. And so credit card fraud, credit card crime, is something the police really don't care about. Huh. And to make it worse, the credit card companies don't really care about it. Just like a lot of stores, if you shoplift, you know, they have a anti-theft program in most of the chains. But they sort of really don't care. If you get away with it and somebody's got a photograph of the guy, no, they really would rather you not.
Well, now, you know, I have noticed that the police are rather busy with all the murders, rapes, assaults, armed robberies. So I can understand how the police officers themselves.
Oh, yeah, right. We have one of the highest violent crime rates in the world.
Yeah.
Which is because we have the greatest system in the world.
Is that the reason?
And we have one of the highest incarceration rates in the world.
Well, we do.
Because we have one of the greatest systems in the world.
Best system in the world.
Yeah.
So.
We have that video, The Trouble with Lawyers.
Mm. Oh,
which
yes.
We have one of the worst. We have one of the worst systems in the world.
So the reason I'm here for help, and that was actually helpful that now I'm aware that the police aren't going to
care.
They
probably are not, but we'll find out. So first of all, you need the customer wants to buy these high-price, high-dollar items
right.
so that they could return them for a refund.
Yeah, well, they can't do that.
Or sell them.
That's my suspicion is they're going to sell them on the black market.
Which would be hard enough. I mean, this is a niche
high-tech
product.
They don't know what they've gotten themselves into trying to sell these things.
Yeah, they might have a hard time. but, and it's going to show up on eBay for $1,500.
Yes.
And that's another way to find them.
Right. Well, there you go. Now, but the thing is how... How can I want to get whoever was robbed, I would like to get them their money back.
That's going to be hard. So you could create an alert, you know, for, I don't know, a Google alert eBay alert. When this product comes up for sale on eBay, I want to be notified.
Yeah, I could do that.
So that, but you're not going to ship it to them.
I'm not going
to
ship it because I already figured it out.
And you're not going to refund them their money.
No, I'm not.
Because you're giving them what they want.
Right.
The criminal.
Yeah, my guess is
this is going to be very hard.
If I shipped it, they would probably protest the charge with the credit card company, get their money back.
Yeah.
Although they might not care because it's not even their money, I don't think.
Right.
They're identity thieves.
Yeah. And now you said something right before we went on the air that the manufacturer of this product.
Yes, they got the same thing this morning.
The same order.
The same scammy looking deal. Yep. So we're
trying
to figure out what
this is three now. Three in a couple days.
Uh-huh.
So $25,000 worth. These things are flying off the shelf.
It could be our best.
You're
going to
be loaded, Doug. You're going to be loaded. So, well, okay, so we'll find out what happens.
Okay, I'll keep you posted.
I have this terrible prediction that the police won't do anything.
Really? I was thinking that I would say, okay, he's on 14th Street. I'm looking at him on Google Earth. Send
Doug,
a car over there.
Our producers do such a great job of investigating when somebody's robbing them, crime.
Yeah.
I mean, you know Will, former producer.
Yeah,
yeah. A gal stole his credit card, and he calls the police. I know who it is. She's had all these charges, and right now she's in this restaurant paying with my credit card.
Got him.
You just have to have somebody come by. No, sorry. We're not interested. Brian, who also produces for us occasionally, finds out that someone stole a diamond ring. This is felony theft.
Yeah.
A diamond ring, a wedding ring. Out of someone's home, he calls the police. He recovered the ring.
Oh.
And this person he knew, you stole a ring? You think you're not going to get away with it. Give me that ring. And Brian calls the police. The police don't care. Well,
He's got the ring and the thief.
They don't care.
Really?
They don't care. So Tom Martino on the radio, you know him.
Yeah.
Left wing.
Yeah.
I call him left wing.
I think he's left wing, yeah.
He's the troubleshooter, and he says the police don't care about credit card crime.
Hmm.
So that's an indictment of the best system in the world.
There you go, right? What a that's failure. That's a tragedy.
Okay, so for me today, I'm focused on the family. And
yes.
They're outraged.
They're outraged.
Because their policy has come home to roost.
Yeah, I was going to say, did the survey actually say now is the time to stand up?
Well, no, I'm paraphrasing, but their policy back in the 90s, and we have a good memory here at Bob and Eric Live, was equal rights for homosexuals.
I remember that.
That's what they campaigned on. It was called Amendment 2. James Dobson led the fight, equal rights for homosexuals. Everyone else forgets that. We and we alone remember that.
Well, that's because we were standing up.
And three, yeah, we were confronting them.
Yeah.
This is going to give you a temporary victory.
Uh-huh.
And boy, you want to talk about temporary?
That was one of the shortest lived victories ever.
John Roberts, who they later lobbied to be confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice, he worked with Equality Colorado, I think it was called.
The homos.
So that they could promote the homosexual agenda in Colorado. And John Roberts helped them prepare their oral arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court, which then the Republican court overturned Colorado's Amendment 2.
Yeah.
And made basically Jack Phillips at Masterpiece Cake Shop made his life miserable.
That's where it all started. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because you could be forced to comply with homosexuals and their agenda.
Yeah.
So that's all that.
Mm-hmm. Which you predicted that's exactly where we would end up.
Right. And so when Focus on the Family, they campaigned for equal rights for homosexuals. Not special rights.
Not special.
But equal rights. And we warned them of that was an utter capitulation. And the outcome would mean that homosexuals would be coaching the kids' wrestling team. They'd be writing the curriculum for the first graders and the third graders and all this. And it was all so evidently in our future that this was courtesy of Focus on the Family, because they were unwise and they were fighting a political battle that they were not spiritually prepared for. Mm-hmm. It should have been obvious to them.
Yeah.
What happens when your nation's Christian leaders argue equal rights for homosexuals? That should have been obvious. So here we are, 2019, we have a homosexual governor.
We do.
What's the first thing he does?
He wants to homosexualize the kids in the public schools.
Of course. Which they are mostly already, but that's what he wants to do.
He wants to introduce the whole. What they want to do now is put the homosexuality throughout the curriculum in the math, in the geography, in the social studies.
Oh, right, of course, right.
How can you homosexualize math? They'll figure out a way.
Oh, yeah. Well, Johnny and Fred have three sons.
All right, I got it.
Johnny and Fred have three sons. Between them, how many girls are in that family? That's called quantum mechanics. Unanswerable.
Oh, and so, Bob, I have to laugh.
Yeah.
But I genuinely fear for the future of these poor kids.
Yeah.
Because you can teach young kids anyway.
Yeah,
It's just terrifying what this bodes for the future for these poor kids.
So Focus on the Family has this signed the petition to tell, you know, the Democrats own Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
To tell the governor, the legislators, don't do this.
Uh-huh.
As though the governor, who is a homo himself.
Yeah, right. Like,
and Focus on the Family said years ago, it was on the front page of the Denver Post, that we would not object to a homosexual Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what do they think he would advocate and support? Everything that they've been opposed to.
Yeah.
I mean, you realize how delusional? That would be like the NAACP saying we would not object to a racist being nominated to the Supreme Court.
That's a good analogy.
That's what it would be like. And they would never do that because they're not that mentally ill.
Right. And keep in mind that all this happened with Focus on the Family before marijuana was legal. And as far as we know, none of those guys even drink.
Right.
What are they thinking about?
Right. So
it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
So you're still on their mailing list, and you got the petition.
Yeah, so I filled out the form, and they said, you know, we parents have to tell the legislature you can't do this to our kids in school. You can't do this.
Okay.
So I, instead of giving first name, last name, email, address, I wrote a sentence in there.
Oh.
I wrote, no, now it's time, that's my first name,
okay,
no spaces, to take our kids, that's my last name, address one, out of public school.
Amen.
In my email, I did put my email because I knew they'd check it.
Well, good.
bob@kgov.com.
They need to be in touch with you by email, I think.
Well, it could help. We did a presentation down there in person to their VP of Public Policy and their judicial analysts.
Right.
And showed them as clear as could be. It's called Focus on the Strategy 2. You could watch the presentation on YouTube. Yeah. Just kgov.com, click on our YouTube channel, and you'll see the presentation we gave to Focus on the Family in their Colorado Springs headquarters, and it was devastating to where they were leading the nation, to where they were, the Christians. Forget about the Democrats. Forget about them. Mm. It's where the Christians have led America. So when I said Focus hasn't yet adopted the flat earth model,
yes.
That was because of our plumber.
Oh, plumber stories. I love plumber stories.
At Denver Bible Church.
Yes.
We got the greatest plumber ever.
Yeah?
Put in two high-efficiency furnaces, a new water heater. Just amazing.
Well, unbelievable. Finding a good plumber, that is it's one of those life accomplishments.
Yes.
That you don't let him go. You hang on to him.
It's so great.
Yes.
I mean, we go out for coffee. It's just awesome. So, we're together because he just installed three Nest thermostats.
Oh, you got to like that.
You know what those are?
Nest? You can change the temperature with your phone from Indiana.
Yeah. And we're already high-efficiency furnaces. We've got these eco settings on our Nest thermostats. We are saving so much money. I bet you they start sending us a check, Xcel Energy.
I like it.
I mean, it's unbelievable how much. But it is scary, Doug, because if you have one of these in your house, they know. When you and your wife go to bed, they know.
Well,
they know what time you wake up. They know when you leave. They know everything.
And you know that Google keeps track of that.
And it's Big Brother. I mean, it really is. Just this morning, our 18-year-old son works in finance down in the Denver Tech Center.
Yeah.
And we had that blizzard.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how you got here.
I was dodging axes. It was wild.
So I Google from our house to his office, and it says an extra 40 minutes.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. With the snow. So then Google Maps says, do you want to download the map in case there's spotty areas of coverage along your route?
Well, that's pretty cool.
So I said yes, even though I wasn't going and my phone wasn't going. And I said to Cheryl, I just tricked Google. Google thinks I'm going to the tech center. I am not going to the tech. Google thinks I'm going to the tech center for sure.
You got one over on him.
And so she looks at me like I'm a nut. And then I look and I'm holding my phone as I'm telling her this. And I said, oh, no, I just told them that I'm not going to the tech center. And that made her laugh. Do you like when you tell a joke and your wife laughs? Do you like that?
That's one of my top three reasons to be alive, is to make my wife laugh at a joke.
It's
great.
Your podcast, The Weekly Worldview, that your wife laughing in the background is one of the highlights.
That's what everybody says.
It's one of the highlights. Yeah. Do you have her on tape? Is it
It's just a laugh track.
Is it like a Hollywood sitcom?
I hit a button. Yeah.
No, it's really Takaka.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Of course. I love it. I think it's one of the greatest feelings in the world.
Yeah,
when you make
is.
Someone you love laugh.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. And God has a sense of humor.
He does.
We cover that in our verse-by-verse Bible studies. So our plumber installs these three Nest thermostats, and we're there together, and his phone rings, and he said, Bob, would you talk to this guy? Let's call him Phil.
Okay.
He's my friend. He's a flat earther.
Oh, no.
So, you know, we've done a couple shows on flat earth recently. We raised money, $34,000, to launch a flat earther into space.
Yes, I was part of that.
You're on the YouTube video.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a GoFundMe. It was a Kickstarter campaign.
Right.
So it's fun, you know.
It was great.
Yeah.
Great way to make a point.
Yeah.
Yes.
So speaking to Phil... And he could be listening right now.
So you're speaking to Phil on the phone knowing he's a flat earther?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And he's a Christian.
Okay.
Which, sadly, there's a lot of overlap.
Really?
Yeah. In France, 10% of the population is flat earth.
Uh-huh.
But you can't find 10% of Frenchmen who are Christians.
Well, that's true. Unfortunately.
I mean, not real.
No.
Bible believing.
It's not like Charlemagne.
Evangelical.
No.
Fundamentalist.
No.
No. Maybe that they're not Muslim.
That could be.
And therefore they think they're Christian.
Right, just by default.
But you could hardly find 10% of non-Muslims in France.
Well,
no, I'm only kidding.
It's getting that way.
I'm only kidding, but it is getting there.
Right? Yeah.
So anyway, Phil is a Christian, and if he's tuning in right now, he might be, because during the call, he Googled, what is the firmament of day two?
Hey!
In Genesis.
Well, then I know where he went. I know where he ended up.
The number one article is at kgov.com, our website.
A mind-blowing article, by the way.
Just so powerful, right? The biblical verses that are there are almost always ignored,
recognized. I must admit that I stumbled over them maybe 4 or 5 dozen times and had no idea.
What these verses were saying just... on the surface, and just so powerful. What is the firmament of day two?
It unlocks so much of the Bible just to understand
that.
Oh, it's so fun.
It's so cool. So anyway, we're thrilled that we have a number two out of like 50,000 or whatever possible pages on the firmament of day two of Genesis. We're thrilled to be number one. So Phil Googled that, and maybe he could be tuning in right now. But if he is, Phil, I love you we're brothers in the Lord. Hopefully we can have coffee. I asked him if we could go out for coffee.
Yeah.
But I was pretty harsh with him.
Uh-oh. Well, you tend to be
that way. So our plumber was listening, right?
Okay.
So I said, Phil, and he says, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I know the earth is flat. He's real strong about it.
Okay.
So I said, well, Phil, we spent a week in New Zealand, and down there, when you look at the moon... Like the man on the moon?
Yeah.
And he said he didn't know what that meant, the man on the moon. That wasn't... I said, well, you know it has dark spots and light spots. And they're sort of... The dark spots are sort of circular. And there's like two at the top and one at the bottom. That's called the man on the moon. It's an expression. It's like eyes in a mouth.
Now, this sounds like a guy who's devoted some serious thought to things like the earth and the moon and the star.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he could go on for hours on this topic.
But he was unfamiliar with the man in the moon
deal. So I said, well, when we were in New Zealand, I said, I don't know about you, but I've looked at the moon thousands of times carefully.
Yeah.
In my life.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands carefully. And when we were in New Zealand for a week protesting Bill Clinton for raping Juanita Broderick, the man in the moon was standing on his head. He's upside down.
Look different.
He's upside down.
Oh, wow. I never thought of that.
So when you're in the southern hemisphere, because, you know, if somebody's standing on the North Pole, somebody in the South Pole, and if you brought them together at the equator, their feet would be touching.
Right.
And so you separate them 8,000 miles, so they're standing. You know, somebody's in Auckland... Somebody's in Denver.
Yeah.
And so the guy in Denver sees that the above the man on the moon's eyes are sort of in the direction of his head, of the guy's head, the observer.
Right.
And the mouth is sort of in the direction of the guy's feet.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Up and down, top and
bottom. It looks like a face.
And the guy who's standing in Auckland, New Zealand... because the earth is a sphere,
allegedly,
the man on the moon's mouth to him looks like it's in the direction of his head, and the man on the moon's eyes look like they're in the direction of his feet.
Makes sense.
So the moon is upside down.
Yeah.
So he had never heard this. So I asked him, do you have a friend in the Southern Hemisphere?
Oh.
Could you make a friend? Ask him, the moon is in the same stage all over the world on any given day. So last night we had a half moon. Ask him tonight to take a video, Google Hangouts, while you see him. Let him point it at the moon. And you look at the moon, and you'll see it's upside down.
Wow.
Now, unless you think it's the NSA.
Well, yeah, see,
inverting,
could,
part of the video.
They could rig all that.
Right, part of the video.
Uh-huh.
Have them take a photo and email you the photo, whatever, or just look it up in thousands of photos already in existence.
Yeah, well, there's that, but you can't trust any of that.
So then the stars rotate to us counterclockwise throughout the evening and to them clockwise. They rotate in the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah, well,
and
that
so
makes sense,
that
too.
That was something else he was not interested in at all whatsoever.
Okay, well, I'll admit that I've never pondered these things, but I do find them interesting.
So I said, Phil, could I make some predictions about you?
Uh-oh.
First of all, you're a geocentrist.
Yeah?
You believe that the sun orbits the Earth. The Earth doesn't orbit the sun.
Uh-oh, what do you
say? And you think the planets and the stars. He didn't know what stars were. He wanted to argue what they were.
Oh.
But whatever they are, these these lights in the sky, you believe that they orbit the Earth. So Neptune, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune would be orbiting the Earth faster than the speed of light.
To make
if
that
it had
work,
to go
right?
around
yeah.
once every 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
And forget about the stars, the galaxies.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we're talking 30 trillion times the speed of light.
Hmm.
Anyway, aside from that.
So did you nail him on that?
He admitted he's a geocentrist.
Oh, boy. Wow.
So then I said, how about 9/11?
Oh, here we go.
And I knew he would believe that he's a 9/11 truther.
Uh-oh.
And it wasn't just Al-Qaeda Muslim terrorist. Somehow it's an inside job. The truth isn't out. He didn't want to answer the question about 9/11.
Okay.
Because I'm building the case that, and I said this to him, that flat Earth is not a hypothesis. It's a symptom of mental illness.
Well, and it's kind of sad.
You're paranoid, Phil, and you do struggle with mental illness. I have other predictions about you I can make, but how about 9/11? He didn't want to answer.
Which is an answer.
But the plumber, was there. So I said, in the last 20 years, have you told anyone that we don't know the truth about 9/11. And he's got to think, what have I told the plumber? So he admits that he's a 9/11 truther, inside job guy.
Poor Phil.
And what do these two things have to do with each other?
Well, they seem unrelated.
In a Muslim terrorist attack,
right?
The only possible connection is paranoia. It's telling us about him, not about those things.
Ah.
So then I predicted that he thought that we never went to the moon.
Ah, the moon landing, old reliable.
That was correct.
That's the best way to smoke out a mentally deluded person.
Yeah.
Is the moon landing.
Yeah.
Number one.
It's paranoia. It's a form of mental illness. We all struggle with mental illness.
Indeed.
But then I predicted that he's underemployed and everyone around him is more successful than he is. He's in his 50s. He rents a place.
And everyone thinks
then
he's
Then I predicted
little...
that many of his friends think he's half a bubble off. And he admitted that. So how many predictions do you got to make before the guy will consider?